Hello, everyone. This is Pastor Jay Tyler from Holt Assembly of God, and I want to thank you for joining me for this broadcast of Life in the Spirit. Today, you'll be listening to a message that I recently shared with our church family at Holt Assembly of God entitled Growing. I pray this message is a blessing to you, and it encourages you to grow spiritually and become more like Christ.
Wherever we find freedom, we can find growth. And the freedom we have in Christ, again, it's not a freedom to do what we want and still go to heaven. That's a perverted view of freedom. Boy, I hear that a lot. Just say the prayer, you sign the card, get dipped in some water, and just live like whatever you want to do, and you're still going to heaven. I don't buy that baloney. I'm sorry, I just don't. The freedom is not the freedom to do what you want and still go to heaven. The freedom is to become more like Jesus. The freedom is to be able to live apart from the flesh and live unto the Spirit and live by the Spirit of God, amen? So I think it's just a perverse view of that. So we have freedom, yes indeed, but it's a freedom to become more like Jesus. So growing spiritually always results in spiritual fruit. So if you're growing spiritually, you're gonna produce spiritual fruit. So let's see what Jesus has to say about this on this subject of growing. So let's go to Luke chapter 6. We're going to be in verses 43 and 44. At the close of this service, we're going to just take communion together. We'll take it like we normally do. I call everybody down to the front. We kind of share it together as a family. And I'm believing God's going to speak to you today. Amen. Luke chapter 6, verse 43. For a good tree does not bear bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. Verse 44. For every tree is known. Every tree is known. It's recognized by its fruit, by its own fruit. For men do not gather figs from thorns, nor do they gather grapes from a bramble bush. So Jesus has given us this illustration, right? I'm sure you can kind of picture it in your mind. The illustration are trees that are bearing fruit. And those trees that are bearing fruit, they're representing something. They're representing they're representing our spiritual health. And they're representing the life of abundance, that spiritual abundance. And he says we are known, recognized, or distinguished by our own fruit. Listen, if you act ugly, it means you got some ugly inside of you, all right? If you got some ugliness in there and it comes out, and I'm not talking about ugly you can cover up with makeup, because some of us would need a whole lot of makeup. I'm talking about ugliness that is on the inside. And if that ugliness comes out, it shows up in our demeanor, our attitude, our behaviors, maybe even in church. Listen, you just may be ugly inside. Listen, nobody like that in this church, right? They're down in some other church down the road somewhere. I don't know. Let's keep on going. Verse 45, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaks. Boy, I say this, you want to know what's in someone's heart, just listen. Just listen. All right, a person who is born again, lives a godly life, does so because on the inside, there's a resource. Are you following me? So if a person is born again, they're living a godly life, there's a resource within. And they're pulling out of that resource. They're drawing out of that resource. And the result of that is Christ-likeness. They're more like Jesus. You see it. It's evident. How many of you have been around people that just radiate the glory of God? You just see there's joy on that person. There's peace. You know, there's a loving kindness about them. There's mercy. They just ooze Christ, don't they? So you know why? Because there's a source that's within them, and then they're full of that source. And what comes out of their life, what comes out of their demeanor, what comes out of their words, it's because that reservoir is filled with the presence of God. So maybe you've run across some people that there's something else in there. Again, there's some ugliness in there. There's some religion in there. There's some nastiness. It's because there's a reservoir within them, and they're pulling out of that reservoir. If you try to live a godly life without the Holy Spirit, you are going to be extremely frustrated. Go try it for 6 months. Come back, and I'll tell you so, all right? I told you so, didn't I? I tell you, you can't do this. You can't live a spiritual life. You can't live a godly life. You can't do these things on your own. We need the help of the Holy Spirit, amen? So sooner or later, you're going to get frustrated. You're going to get just cantankerous, whatever. And what happens is you get frustrated because you're pulling out of a source that's not there. Right? The resource is not there. So if you don't have that spiritual reserve on the inside, you can go so long. You can fool yourself, But sooner or later, some ugliness is going to come out. And when ugliness comes out, guess what? Everyone sees it, right? The fruit is on the tree. It's evident. You can be born again, and you can have some stuff on the inside of you. And you're pulling from that resource. And sometimes you can get frustrated. You can have shame. You can have heartache. You can have pain. You can have bad habits. You can have wants. You can have inadequacies. You can have rejection. I mean, the list goes on. And you could pull from that source, and eventually it comes out. Here's the question I feel like I'm led to ask you this morning. What kind of tree are you? I don't mean apple, pear, peach. You know, I don't mean that. I mean, well, all those are good trees. I like them all. I like to eat from them. But what kind of tree are you? Spiritually, are you alive? Are you healthy? And are you drawn from the resource of God's presence in your life? See, like a tree, whatever fruit is on the branches, it indicates what's going on internally in that tree. If you're growing spiritually, there should be plenty of fruit for everyone to see. If you're not growing spiritually or you lack fruit, the lack indicates something. The lack of fruit indicates something on the inside. The lack of fruit indicates a lack of growth. So let's go back, read the same verse we just read in the Message Bible. Look at this. You don't get wormy apples off a healthy tree, nor good apples off a diseased tree. The health of the apple tells you the health of the tree. You must begin with your own life-giving lives. It's who you are. It's not what you say and do that counts. Your true being brims over into true words and deeds. How many of you love apples? I love apples. And I was just thinking about this. I love apple pie. Are you with me there? Dutch apple pie with some ice cream would be good right now. Apple turnovers. Apple crisp. Apple dumplings. Apple strudel. Apple cobbler. Applesauce. Apple butter. Caramel apples. Apple cider. And that's about it. That's what Bubba said, right? I think that's about it. That's all I got to say about that. All right, so let's say the analogy is an apple tree. Right? And it's not specific. It just talks about a fruit tree. So let's just use an apple here. Let's say the analogy Jesus is using is an apple tree or an apple. And so if we're likened to apple trees, the amount and the quality of apples indicate the spiritual health. It indicates what's going on. If a tree doesn't have fruit, it's either immature or something is wrong with that tree. It's either immature or something's wrong with that tree. So think of yourself this way. Think that you're a tree and you're in a field. And the field is next to a road. And cars are driving by that field every day. And they look over and they see that tree. They see an apple tree there. They only know it's an apple. I don't know about you. I'm not an expert on trees. I don't know all these leaves and different things. I know this. I know when I see an apple tree, because I can tell by the fruit. Now, when it don't have fruit, I can't tell. But when it's got fruit, I can tell that's an apple tree. It's not a pear tree. It's not a peach tree, because those are apples. People are driving by that tree, and they see fruit on that tree. They know it's an apple tree. There's no question, because there's an apple. There's apples on that tree. So that's what people see day in and day out. They see, I'm not saying they see apples, but they see fruit. If you're born again, they see fruit. Actually, if you're not born again, they see fruit. They'll see your fruit no matter what. But if you're born again, they see fruit. So let me put it this way. What do people see? What do your family see? What do your peeps see when you're at home? What kind of fruit are they seeing? All right, what about this? When you're on your job or you're at school, what are people seeing? I'm going to get you real. We'll get real close to you. When you post or rant on social media, what kind of fruit are people seeing? See, it does matter. Your fruit matters. It's an indication of what's going on in here. It tells people what's going on in here. People seeing the fruit of Christ in your life, or are they seeing the evidence of the flesh? Which one are they seeing? So if Jesus has come into your life, you're born again, correct? If you've received him as Savior, you've also received the Holy Spirit. And you say, well, I don't know if I've received the Holy Spirit. Then you're not born again. You say, why do you say that, preacher? Because here, look, Romans 8:9. You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. Here it is. Look at this. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. The Spirit of Christ is the Holy Spirit. There's not separate spirits, right? It's the Holy Spirit. If you don't have the Spirit of Christ, or if you don't have the Holy Spirit, you don't belong to Christ. So when we are born again, the Spirit of God comes to live in us. He dwells in us. But man, he just is not in there taking up space. There's something that he does. And when what happens is when you receive him, there's an experience. And that experience is clearly evident. See, what experience are you talking about? You were a bad tree, and you were made a good tree. See, there's something tangible about that. It's not mystic. It's not make-believe. There's something very tangible that occurs in your life when you give your life to Jesus, you receive the Holy Spirit, and you're born again. There's something tangible. Let's put it this way. Again, a bad tree is unable to produce good fruit. Therefore, and if it needs to produce good fruit, it has to be changed. It has to be transformed. Good tree, bad tree. Bad tree can't produce good fruit. So if it's going to produce good fruit, it has to be changed. It has to be transformed. And listen, you can't do that. We can't do that. We can't make ourselves good enough. You know, we can't just gussy ourselves up, look all pretty and everything on the outside, and still be ugly on the inside. That's a work of God. It's a work of the Spirit. It's a transformational work that takes place. It's clearly evident. It takes place in your life when you're born again. When did that happen for you? When? Again, look at the scriptures. Luke chapter 6, verse 43. For a good tree does not bear bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. When did that occur for you? I don't know about you. I had some bad fruit at one time. You hang around with me long enough, you probably see some more still. But the more, it's better now, right? There are times where, yeah, my fruit's not all that great, but praise God, I'm a work in progress, and there's better fruit than there is bad fruit, right? Here's what I want you all to do. I want you to think back to the start of your walk with God. You know, we didn't grow up in a Christian home. Mom and Dad didn't go to church when I was young or anything like that. Here's what I want you to do. For me, I just had to think back to last week. But for some of you, you have to think back further. Think about this. When you go back to you began your walk with God, all right, go back to that moment. Think about the moment you received Jesus as Savior, what happened? Because something should have happened. Something really should have happened. Now listen, I'm not talking about goosebumps. I'm not talking about anything else. Spiritual manifestations can happen, but I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about something here happens. Something just clicks. Something changed. Let me kind of illustrate this, because this is throughout the Word. All right, think back again for that moment when you received Jesus, what happened? Because something should have happened, because you were a bad tree and you became a good tree. All right, so let's look at the example of Paul for a second. All right, Acts chapter 9, verse 17. And Ananias went his way and entered the house and laying his hands on him, he said, Brother Saul, and we know this is Paul later on, the Lord Jesus who appeared to you on the road as you came has sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales. Something like scales. And he received his sight, and at once he was arose and was baptized. Paul, you know, when Paul had that encounter with Jesus on the road, we understand that when he saw the light, his eyes were blinded. But listen, it wasn't just his eyes, his physical eyes opened, his spiritual eyes opened. Because it says something like scales. Boy, did that ever happen to you? You once saw the world a certain way. You gave your life to Jesus, and the way you looked at the world completely changed. See, something should happen. The older you get, for some of you, if it happened when you're young, it may be a little different, but it did occur. It should have. I believe kids can get saved. I believe kids, it don't matter, you know, the age, teenagers, they can get saved, but that still has to happen for it. It still has to happen for them. Paul's physical eyes were open. At the same time, his spiritual eyes are open. Because this man has spent his entire life as a religious Pharisee. And so his eyes were open. Paul was going to Damascus. He had orders from the high priest. He's like part of the religious mafia. He has orders to go into Jewish communities, not just in Israel, but in Syria, into Damascus. And he can go into religious Jewish communities. He can find any Jews that have converted to Christianity. He can have them arrested and brought back and stand trial in Jerusalem. Paul was going on his way to Damascus to arrest Christians. It's a bad tree, correct? It's a very bad tree. But what happens? Jesus steps in his life. Jesus steps into his life. How do you remember the moment when Jesus stepped into your life? Do you remember the moment when your eyes were opened? You once were blind, but then you saw the truth as plain as day. See, again, that should happen for us. And if not, I would say maybe, listen to me, please. Boy, this is hard to say sometimes in church. Sometimes I think we just have a lot of religion and we don't have this experience with God. And you must have that experience. You must be born again. Something has to occur in your heart. And I don't know how dramatic it was for you. Some is for less, some of it's more. But when did it happen? When did Jesus step into your life, change your heart? So if Jesus can step into the life of someone who is persecuting the church, killing innocent Christians, then why can't he step into our lives and dramatically change us? So are you doing something greater than killing innocent Christians? I doubt that. I doubt anyone in here is. But Paul, you say, well, Paul may have not, or he may have killed with his own hands. We don't know. The Bible's not really clear, but he is 100% responsible for deaths. He admits that later on in his life. Years later, when he's standing before King Agrippa, he gives his testimony. This is his testimony about his life before Christ. This is when he was a bad tree. Check this out. Acts chapter 26. I too was convinced that I ought to do all that was possible to oppose the name of Jesus of Nazareth. Verse 10. And this is just what I did in Jerusalem on the authority of the chief priests. I put many of the Lord's people in prison. And when they were put to death, he put them in prison. They were killed. He's responsible. The blood's on his head. So put them to death. I cast my vote against them. Many a time I went from one synagogue to the other to have them punished. Tried to force them to blaspheme. He's forcing confessions. This is not a good guy. He's so religious. He's so zealous. He's blind. We can get so religiously blind and zealous that we do silly things that are actually opposed to God's word and think we're doing God a service. Paul thought he was doing the right thing. He thought he was honoring God. He thought he was doing the right thing by killing these Christians. He goes on, he says, I tried to force them to blaspheme. I was so obsessed with persecuting them that I even hunted them down in foreign cities. See, this is exactly what he's talking about. This guy's not a good guy. But what happens on the road to Damascus? Jesus steps into his life, amen, and changes him. Paul was a nasty, religious zealot. Do anything to protect his religion. Do anything to make himself feel comfortable in church. As long as it stays that way, it's good. But if you oppose that, I'll kill you. See, one day traveling on the road to Damascus in Syria, doing the wrong thing, he has an encounter with Jesus. And everything changes forever. The bad religious tree was transformed into a good tree. And that enabled him to produce the fruit that we see throughout his ministry. After his transformation, Paul, he immediately began to preach. I love that. He didn't have to go through classes. He didn't have, he just begins to preach. Paul is this way. He is 100% opposed to Christianity. He's just foot on the gas, hammered down, persecute. And then when he gets saved, boom, he goes all the way back this way, and he's all in for Jesus. Isn't that incredible? God still has the power to do that, amen? He still has the power to change people. Look at this, and this is what was said about him. Acts chapter 9, verse 21. All those who heard him were astonished and asked, isn't he the man who raised havoc in Jerusalem among those who call on this name? And hasn't he come here to take them as prisoners to the chief priests? Isn't this the guy who was arresting Christians and bringing them back to Jerusalem, stand trial? Isn't this the guy that was violent towards Christians and now he preaches Jesus? Just like Paul, the moment the Holy Spirit came into your life, he made you into a new creature. When did that happen for you? When did that happen for you? Just like Paul, the moment the Holy Spirit came into your life, changed you. When did that happen for you? Paul was a dead religious tree, dead religious fruit on his tree. But when Jesus comes to his life, it changes everything. He has spiritual fruit. Again, when did that happen for you? Listen, I don't care. I don't care if you were raised in church, you cut your teeth on the back of the pew. That doesn't mean anything. I don't care if you received Jesus or thought you received Jesus at the age of 12, was baptized, joined the church, shake the preacher's hand. If you did not receive the Holy Spirit, if you were not born again, you're not changed. there are more religious people in church than you can ever think. Okay, so I'm not casting stones or anything. I'm just saying it can happen. It does happen. If you don't believe me, you've never been through a church split or a church fight. Because it's proof, it's evidence that you can come to church, play the part, but something inside of you, that bad fruit finally comes out. And I'm just saying this, if it's the nastier, the deeper, it indicates something nastier and deeper inside. So new birth is a work of the Holy Spirit, transforming your inner being. Church, I just need you to be honest with yourself today. Not with me, just with yourself and God, all right? That's all I'm asking you to do. So again, transforming work of the Holy Spirit. When did that occur for you? When did it take place? See, either the tree is bad or it's good. Which one is it? That's the question you have to ask, answer for yourself this morning. Must be a transformative work of the Spirit in a person's life. And if that hasn't happened, then you're not born again. You're not born again. Again, I'm not talking about speaking in tongues. I'm not talking about spiritual manifestations. That is a separate issue, right? It doesn't matter if you're Baptist, you're Pentecostal, you're Methodist. You must be born again. And guess what? It's the same experience for us all. It's that the Holy Spirit comes into our life. He changes us. When we confess our sins, we repent. We put our faith in Jesus. Because listen, not everybody who does that is saved. Yes or no? Because if it's just believing, even the devil believes in God. Even the devil believes in Jesus and shudders. James talks about this. So what takes place is really it's a work of God, and it's a personal work. Boy, that's what just makes it even so much better. That you know in your knower that you're born again because something has happened inside of you. Look at this, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Hope this is all right. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone, the new is here. I don't know how any plainer can get than that. If anyone is in Christ, they're a new creation. The new creation has come. The old is gone. The new is here. A new creation, a new tree. So you may come to Jesus looking the same on the outside, but inside something has taken place in you, and there's a change. There's a change in your nature. There's a change in your character. There's a change in your demeanor, and there's a change in your actions. Once upon a time, before you came to Jesus, you were dead inside. Every one of us dead inside. Walking dead men, walking dead women. Look at this, Ephesians 2:1, and you were dead in your sins or trespasses and sins. So all of us were dead at one time, spiritually dead, just dead men walking. And in the church, what we have is a lot of religion, a lot of conformity. You can come into a church and not be born again, and you can just instantly conform. See, listen, the Bible doesn't call us to conform. The Bible tells us this, that we need to transform. And that transformation is done by the Holy Spirit. But I've seen this happen time after time. People come in, they get settled into church. We learn pretty quick how to dress, how to talk. We know the lingo, when to lift our hands, when to put something in the offer, when to say amen. We can do all that, and that could just become conformity. I'm telling you this, it's very dangerous if you continue to keep up that conformity. You're going to find your place in a very dark and hollow place. And eventually you're going to come to the end and say, what is with this church stuff? What is with this Christianity stuff is bogus. This is baloney. So we give up. We give in. It's like, this is over. This is bogus. It's not real. It's fake. I mean, this happens all the time. I'm just saying, you must be born again. The old must become new. When did that happen for you? When did you experience the transforming power of the Holy Spirit? Well, Pastor, I really don't recall. Listen, I'm not trying to sow doubt into your life, but I just get tired of people coming to the church week after week, dead on the inside. Dead on the inside, just dying, hurting inside, hurting. And wondering, why isn't this working? I'm coming to church because church can't fix anything. It's only God, the Holy Spirit, has to do this. You can go through classes, you can go through this and that, but listen, it has to be a work of the Spirit of God, amen? What do? You got to surrender and stop conforming. You got to get honest with yourself and say, you know what? I didn't know this, but I've come to this place where I know that something's not right. Something's not right. Again, I'm not trying to sow doubt. I'm just trying to get to a part of us that maybe some of us are really dealing with this issue. Some of us were born again, but listen, we have other problems. I'm going to get to that here in just a moment. So if the tree is good, the fruit will be good. Again, that doesn't mean you won't have temptations. I'm not giving you any kind of false anything. If you give your life to Jesus, you're going to have temptation still. You're going to have trials still. You're going to have things you go through. You're going to have seasons. You're going to have times. You're going to have times when you fail. But here's what, again, what happens is the polarity of your heart has changed. Again, you may fall. You may get dusty and dirty. But you know what? You're like, I can't stay here because I gave my life to Jesus. Something on the inside of you calls out to God. And you're like, I can't stay here. Before, you would have stayed there. Or maybe you would have even retreated further into the flesh. But here you're like, I can't stay here. I've given my life to Jesus. Something deep on the inside of you calls out to God. He calls out to you. What do? You get up, you brush yourself off, you go back to God. That is good evidence that something good has happened in you. Amen? Again, it doesn't mean you won't fight battles, because you will. I'll guarantee this. When you give your life to Jesus, it's on. If you think you was fighting the devil before, you haven't seen anything, bub. You give your life to Jesus, the fight is on. Why? Because he wants you back. He wants you playing for his team. But listen, if you become a new creation on the inside, what eventually will take place is this. You'll mature, you'll grow, and there will be evidence of Christ's likeness. Look at this, 2 Corinthians 3:18. Throwing in a couple different versions here or there. Just felt like I needed to do that here to kind of give you some visuals here. So all of us who have had the veil removed. Look at this. This what the veil of religion. When you've had that veil removed, can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. And the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like him. There's the freedom element. There's the freedom. It's not the freedom to stay who you are and still go to heaven. It's the freedom to become more and more like Jesus. And as we are changed into his glorious image, okay, if Jesus saved you, the veil of religion, the veil of the flesh has been removed, that's when you can see and reflect the glory of God. And if that hasn't happened for you, then make it today. Make it today. The Holy Spirit lives in you. You have the power, you have the ability to live for Jesus. And again, if you haven't had that happen to you, then listen, friend, give your life to him. See, maybe you're not having fruit on the tree because you just might be immature. You know, it's amazing that you plant a tree, it doesn't automatically just start bearing fruit, does it? It takes time. But there's evidence there's life in that tree. And sometimes it's just a matter of immaturity. Sometimes we don't have the fruit in our life because we're just not mature. All right, while Paul's circumstance is very similar to any of ours, a bad tree becoming good, he has a little bit different work that takes place in him. And he has a little bit different background, right? I mean, he knows the Word of God. He just has a skewed view of it. But when his eyes are open, he sees everything truthfully. He gets it then. So he's on a little bit different scale than what most of us were. So he had a lot of fruit. But listen, even in Paul's life, you can see this. Do you remember that the Paul was on the missionary journey with, who was it, Barnabas, I believe? And that John Mark was with them? And things are not going too good? And they want to continue on, Paul and Barnabas do. John Mark says, I'm out of here. I'm going back. This is too hard for me. You know, he's the great quitter. And then they do their missions trip. They get ready to go on their second journey. And Barnabas is like, hey, what about John Mark? Let's take him with us. No, he's the quitting kid. He's the cutout kid. He gave up on us. He abandoned us. He left us. Basically, he tells him to go take a hike. The disagreement becomes so bitter that they basically don't have a conversation for a while. They're torn. Their friendship is shattered over John Mark. But later in Paul's life, we see him. There's some correction. See, Paul, remember, he's fiery. And so he's got that in him still. But we see later in his life, he mellows. What is that? It's evidence of God's work taking place in him. So some of us might be like that. You need to get your roots deeper into the ground, and you need to be receiving the right stuff out of the ground. See, Jesus lived in an agricultural society, and he often uses these references to help us to understand spiritual truth. Again, a healthy tree will produce fruit. If the tree isn't healthy, it won't produce fruit. Let's go back to kind of like the seed stage of our lives. The seed stage is salvation. You remember the conversation Jesus had with Nicodemus? Look at this, John 3:3. Remember, Nicodemus is also a Pharisee. He's come to Jesus at night. He doesn't want anyone to know, but he recognizes this guy's from God. All right? He comes to Jesus, and this is what Jesus says to him. Verily, truly, I say to you, or tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. Now, copy it and print that. That's what Jesus said. Got to be born again. His words. We can't take them out of the Bible. Those are his words. Okay? You can't just believe. You have to have an experience of new birth. If just having mental comprehension of Jesus was enough to qualify you as new birth, then, boy, there's a lot of hellions that are born again, and I just don't buy it because there's no fruit, there's no evidence. There's conflict, right? So when there's a conflict, it's not on God's part, it's on our part. We don't understand. So if you're born again, you're a new tree, you have fruit. If you just got a conception of Jesus, you got him up here, but you don't have him here, you're not born again. Okay, so look at Nicodemus. This is the way that, and here, how can we tell it's an experience? Look what Nicodemus says. Jesus said, you must be born again. Here's what Nicodemus says, verse 4. How can someone be born when they are old? All right? It's a good question. He understands it's not here. It's an experience. Are you following me? He understands that something has to happen. See, how can a person be born again? When they're old, Nicodemus asks, surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born. That's a weird picture, right? But he was like, man, something has to happen here. There's an experience that takes place. Nicodemus is envisioning childbirth. It's perplexing him because he's a full-grown man. How on earth can he experience this? This is what Jesus says to clear up the confusion. Verses 5 and 6, and Jesus answered, verily, truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water. That's not water baptism, by the way. It's born of a womb of water, right? We all come out of the womb. And the Spirit, okay, and the Spirit, flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to Spirit. So he's letting them know that it's not a physical rebirthing, it's a spiritual rebirthing. But it is an experience, like a childbirth. You must become new. Again, we're not talking about when it says water, it's just you're born of the womb, natural birth. Listen, if we're human beings here, we have breath in us, you can be born again, praise God. We're all eligible, that's good news. Just as childbirth is an experience, you must experience a spiritual experience with new birth. So when did this happen for you? When did you experience this new birth? And it's really easy to come to church, be exposed again to Christianity, feel conviction, feel persuaded to conform, and not be born again. Man, it's so easy to do. I want to emphasize this. If new birth is believing that Jesus died on the cross for our sins, and that's it, and he was raised from the grave, if just believing that is enough, and we qualify that as new birth, that causes a lot of problems. So it's deeper than that. It's much deeper than that. It's much deeper than a mental comprehension. So, but what does the Bible say? A good tree has been made good. That means there's a transformation that's taken place. All right, how about you? When did that happen? When? All right, the lack of fruit tells us something. It's giving you an honest assessment. There's two ways we can experience the transforming power of the Holy Spirit and produce good fruit. Number one, we've talked about this almost entire time. You must be born again. You must be born again to produce spiritual fruit. Once you've done that, once you've come to Jesus, once you're born again, number two, this must happen. In order to continue to grow, mature, this must take place. You must yield yourself to that transforming power. All right, here's a great illustration. Spirit gives you life, gives you the ability to produce life, spiritual life. But like a tree, you've got to receive some things. You've got to receive sunlight. You've got to receive sunlight. You've got to receive nutrients from the soil, water, nitrogen, calcium, iron, zinc. You need to receive those nutrients. And what you take in will enhance the quality of that fruit. It will enhance the ability of that tree to produce fruit. So what you take in, what you draw from, will affect how much fruit you produce. If your roots are in good soil and you're pulling out the nutrients, it's going to show up in the fruit that you're producing. But if you're pulling up some bad stuff, it's going to show up in that tree. It's going to show up in your actions, your attitudes, your faith, your lack of faith. Here, give you another one. What about cross-pollination? Well, I know this to be true, and I don't have to be an expert. I know people have a hard time with trees producing fruit. So what do? They go get another one, right? And there's that cross-pollination that takes place. I've heard this many times. People not be able to, tree not bearing fruit, not bearing fruit. Put another fruit tree next to it, bears fruit. So my point is this, coming to church, worshiping together, cross-pollination, serving together, encouraging each other. It's important. It's important for the fruit that you produce. You get isolated, man, I tell you what, the devil will wreak havoc on you. I don't care how strong you are. So there's some environmental things. Taking in, what are you taking in all week long? What's in the ground? What are your roots drawing from? It's going to affect your fruit. Here in a moment, we're going to take communion together. We're going to examine ourselves. I'm going to give you that opportunity. What am I born again, number one? Number two, what am I taking in from the ground? What am I taking in, and how is that affecting the fruit that I'm producing? Why don't I have fruit? Well, maybe, again, it's what I'm taking in from the ground.
I want to thank you for taking the time to listen to this broadcast of Life in the Spirit. I hope this message was a blessing to you. If you are looking for a church home, I want to encourage you to come and worship with us on Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m. or join us Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. for our family night. We have ministry opportunities for all ages, children, youth, and adults. Holt Assembly of God is located at 540 3rd Avenue in Holt, Florida. If you'd like to find out more information about our church, you can find us on the web at www.holtag.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Instagram. Our phone number is 850-537-8351. Until our next broadcast of Life in the Spirit, may God bless you as you serve the Lord Jesus with a grateful heart.